This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 19th of May, 2025. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller with the news, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin on our Indiana Farm Forecast. All brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Coming up in the news, Mitch Frazier is leaving Agrinovus after 5 years there, and meet the woman who will be handing off the bottle of milk at the Indy 500 to the winning driver this Sunday. Low pressure will dominate with rain showers starting tomorrow in Indiana. And on Friday, corn, soybean, and wheat markets were mostly lower. I'll have the final numbers from Friday along with Brian Basting Market Insights on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU-IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
Frazier stepping down at Agrinovus, Indiana, and an Indiana dairy farmer, a big part of the celebration in Victory Circle at the Speedway. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News. Agrinovus, Indiana, a nonprofit fueling growth in the ag bioscience economy across the state, has announced it is launching a search for a new chief executive officer following the resignation of its current CEO, Mitch Frazier, who will depart from the organization effective June 6th. Frazier, who has served as president and CEO of Agrinovus since June of 2020, will become president of IBJ Media Corporation June 16th. That's the parent company of Inside Indiana Business. Read more on this at HoosierAgToday.com. We're now less than a week away from the greatest spectacle in racing, the 109th running of the Indianapolis 500-mile race. CJ Miller had the chance to chat with an Indiana dairy producer who will be a huge part of the celebration in Victory Circle at the end of Sunday's race.
Being there on race day, the energy is so electric. It gets you really pumped up.
And that's Abby Herr, a dairy producer from Noble County. Last year, she was the Indy 500 rookie milk person. This year, she's the Indy 500 veteran milk person, which means she gets to hand the ice-cold glass bottle of milk to the winning driver.
Last year as a rookie, it was so beautiful and chaotic behind Victory Circle. And like all of a sudden you just hear milk, 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 and they rush you out there. And then now to be out there handing it to the winning driver is such a surreal moment.
Abby told me that she hopes this opportunity serves as a moment of inspiration for her two young daughters.
I'm so honored to be able to represent, you know, our family farm. We're the fourth generation raising the fifth generation. And I'm hoping that inspires my daughters to maybe want to take the reins one day and be selected.
Abby says that IndyCar drivers and dairy producers have a lot in common.
They're putting in a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and it takes a lot of determination. And, you know, to see that pay off, whoever it may be, is going to be such a fulfilling thing.
And history could be made on race day if Joseph Newgarden, who won both last year and the year before, wins once again this year. He's the sixth driver to have won the Indianapolis 500 in back-to-back years, but no driver has ever taken the checkered flag 3 years in a row.
Oh my gosh, that would be so exciting. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be happy for whoever makes it to Victory Circle. I mean, I feel like just to be a part of that tradition, and then also you're going to go down in history, you know, as a driver, whether it's Joseph Newgarden or somebody else. But I feel like just to be a part of that tradition, it's just going to be so exciting all around.
You can hear my full conversation with Noble County dairy producer Abby Herr, this year's Indy 500 veteran milk person, It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Thank you, C.J., and what better tradition in all of sports and for Indiana agriculture to be represented there. It's incredible. We'll have more on this throughout the week. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service released the 2024 county yield estimates for corn and soybeans earlier this month. In Indiana, Benton County was atop the chart for both corn and soybean yield at 229.7 bushels per acre for corn and 72 bushels per acre for soybeans. Rounding out the top five in corn, Madison County with 220.7 bushels per acre, Montgomery County with 220.4, Tippecanoe County with 220, and Decatur County with 219.5. In soybeans, Decatur County 68.9, Madison County 68.8, Howard and Tipton County 66.9, and Rush County 66.8 bushels per acre. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at the setup here across the state, we are looking at a massive area of low pressure starting to build to our west. It started to get going overnight last night into early this morning. Low pressure into Nebraska. We're seeing the far eastern circulation get through Missouri and Illinois today, and I think some of it starts to nose into southwest Indiana later this afternoon into this evening. However, I do think a majority of Indiana stays dry today. Clouds build overnight, and we do see on-again, off-again rain showers statewide for Tuesday. At this point, I'm going to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to one full inch coverage at 100% of the Hoosier State. Now, Wednesday, it looks like the bulk of this precipitation wants to reside a little farther north. I'm looking at this more like a warm front lifting through, so I think we see some clearing behind it to the central and southern part of the state. Any place that we can see clouds linger will likely be in the northern third, and in those clouds, I guess I won't rule out some on-again, off-again moisture. To me, it looks like it's a bigger threat for Michigan than northern Indiana, but maybe another tenth to three or four tenths across the northern part of the state. We are dry everywhere for Thursday and Friday, but seeing colder air come back in as the circulation finally moves off to the east. So I think Thursday and Friday are going to be cool, even chilly in a few spots. And then for the Memorial Day holiday weekend, we dry down and we warm up. We're dry for Thursday and Friday in that cool air mass, but then we warm up for Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, and Memorial Day Monday. I think we are unstable then for next week with some heat-based pop-up shower and thunderstorm action. However, I don't think we see a significant frontal passage again until we get closer to the end of the month, maybe the 31st into the 1st. So the last full week of May. Right now, I'm penciling in to be relatively dry with great evaporation again. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Mostly lower in grains and oil seeds to close out the week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review, brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Gearing up for another long season can be stressful. Make sure you're taking care of yourself and your mental health this spring. Get more at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. Settlements from Friday trade coming up. First market analysis, which I procured from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading in the middle of the session. The tone at mid-session on Friday, mostly lower, especially when you look at the grains, and the soybean market has attempted a turnaround from a very difficult sell-off on Thursday. Let's start with corn and wheat. Some pressure in those markets coming from where, Brian?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I think we're seeing a rapid planting pace here across the Midwest, primarily across the Western Belt. I know parts of the Eastern Belt there, including Indiana, with your listeners, has been stop and go. But generally speaking, we're looking at a pace that's above average. For example, on Monday, the USDA released their crop progress report. We're looking for nationwide corn planting progress, Andy, to be around 80%. Now, the five-year average for Monday is 73%. Now, again, some areas may still be a bit behind that, but some areas are definitely running above that. Corn emergence has been good among most areas. It got a good stand in many areas. So I think that the market's looking at, Andy, is twofold. Not only is the crop getting planted on time here and actually a little above normal, but also we're thinking that the acreage for 2025 has the potential, underlying potential, to be a little bit higher. I don't want to be insensitive to our folks down in the southern part of the belt there, where there's just had way too much rain in that region. So that's been a struggle down there. But other areas further north may plant a few more acres than anticipated. So that's a double whammy, as it were, more acres than expected and a good start to the crop. The old crop corn, Andy, continues to be supported at least by strong export business, but it's finding hard footing, trying to get its footing down here. We're still looking at the lowest prices since December for old crop corn. So looking at the wheat market, Andy, we're looking at some results from the Kansas Wheat Tour out west, which were really good. One of the highest yields they'd ever seen from that Kansas Wheat Tour. The rain came just in time here recently for that crop. And so some ideas that that's going to be a very strong crop, albeit it's still 6 weeks away from harvest, a month to 6 weeks. In the Eastern Belt here, the crop ratings continue to be good for our soft red winter wheat crop. Concern, Andy, is that the moisture we've seen, excess moisture, and now our temperatures. We're a little concerned about fusarium. So, again, we want to keep our eye on that moving forward. But wheat is, on the demand side, it's just searching for demand, Andy. We can't really get going here or find any footing down here at these lower levels because we're seeing some decent new crop export sales, but nothing to really set this market and say, let's turn it around. I think wheat is now looking for an avenue to creep into the feeding sector to substitute for corn. But even that, with corn weakening, they're both weakening. So wheat is hard, finding it difficult. So both markets are under pressure, Andy, as we move into the middle of May here.
And as I alluded to, the soybean market extremely weak on Thursday. At least it looked like a pause in the selling on Friday. But the soy complex is a drag on the bean market, with soy oil seemingly leading lower.
The soybean market had been, if you will, a bright spot. We'd seen the highest prices in old crop beans, for example, since I believe the third week in February. Earlier this week. But as you said, we had a sharp downturn there on Thursday. There's some confusion, Andy, or maybe better said, uncertainty about the future of biofuel in terms of what our inclusion levels are going to be moving forward. And that was just enough to spook the oil market, as you say, to a sharply down day on Thursday, and it did drag soybeans with it. As we come in here on Friday, I think we're just looking at some short covering ahead of the weekend. I think the market will try and digest that information as we move into this last half of May, trying to get more information about that future, because it's so critical, Andy, when you're looking at all the plants, for example, that are coming online here in the Western Corn Belt, Northern Plains, what type of inclusion are we going to see in biofuels and so on and so forth. So the bean market, I think, is looking at lower acreage here for 2025, Andy. However, we're off to a good start planting-wise for beans, too. We look for the acreage number. Plantings number on Monday, Andy, to be about 65%. That would be the highest since 21 and well above the five-year average of 53%. But again, I don't want to neglect some challenges being seen out there with some rain in the southern areas, but other areas have really push to get those beans early because they've seen results in yield. So it feels like beans are just kind of marking time now after the big rally with the big setback to see what we're going to get more fundamental information.
And as far as some short-term marketing thoughts that you care to share, anything?
I think, Andy, as we move forward, first of all, I'd emphasize from a producer standpoint, as this growing season really gets underway here, to remain flexible. We've got a lot of moving pieces, both with the trade side, both with the strength of the dollar, both with the needless to say, the weather forecast came out from the National Weather Service last week, Andy, and said that the 90-day forecast is hot. Now it's mixed in precip, normal precip, perhaps in the eastern belt and a little bit dry out west. Just another ingredient, if you will, in that recipe for volatility, Andy. So what I'd emphasize to start out with, remain flexible. But other factors to watch, I just think we have to see how our planting season finishes here the next 30 days. Are we going to get all those intended corn acres planted? Are we going to see some of those corn acres switched over to beans? That'll be the top item on the agenda here, I think, the next 30 days. We have to include on that, of course, the trade. What kind of trade deals are we going to see? Obviously, we had a 90-day pause with China established here recently, but are we going to see other deals made? We have to see the finish of the growing season in Brazil, Andy, where it looks like Brazil right now has the potential for a much larger corn crop than last year. But the one variable I'd share with your listeners there, Andy, is that the domestic use in Brazil is accelerating. So maybe even though they're going to have a larger crop this year, they may not be as aggressive a competitor with the U.S. Is coming crop year because more of that corn is staying home. So ending weather in Brazil, weather here in the U.S., trade issues, those are the three I would put at the top of the list. And any final thoughts or any finalization or at least clearer picture on the biofuel side would be something the market's looking for.
Market commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading, an economist there. And the number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, July corn a nickel lower. It ended at 443.5. September 421.5, down 3.5 cents. Dease contract 435.5, 3.25 lower. A penny and a quarter down on July beans, 1050 even. August dips to 1046.25, a penny lower, and up a quarter cent on November, 1035.5. Leading to the downside, Chicago wheat, July goes to 525, 7.75 lower. Mostly higher in the meat markets, June live cattle, 212.22, up a dollar and a nickel. June lean hogs higher much of the session, but ending 37 cents lower at 132 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.